Nicodemus has got something on his mind, Dorcas thought. I'm not certain what it is, but it smells bad. And it got worse as the day wore on, especially since it began to rain, a nasty, freezing sort of rain. Sleet, according to Granny Morkie. It was soggy, not really water, but not quite ice. Rain with bones. Granny Morkie did her best to cheer them up.
This ain't nothing. I remember the great flood made our whole cave right in. We was cold and drenched for days, she cackled and rocked backwards and forwards. Like drowned rats we was, not a dry stitch on, you know, and no fire for a week. Talk about laugh!
The store gnome stared at her and shivered. No one's temper was improved when they learned that the Land Rover had parked right on top of the patch of ground they were going to plant things in. The gnomes had spent ages during the summer hacking the hard ground into something resembling soil. They'd even planted seeds, which hadn't grown. Now, there were two great ruts in it, and a new padlock and chain on the gate. The sleet was already filling the ruts. Oil had leaked in, and formed a rainbow sheen on the surface. And all the time, Nicodemus was reminding people how much better it had been in the store. They didn't really need much persuading. I wonder what Nicodemus's game is, Dorcas mused. He's too keen, if you ask me. I wish Maskelyne would come back. Even young Gerda wasn't too bad. It's been 3 days now. At a time like this, he knew he'd feel better if he went and looked at Jacob. Jacob was his little secret, his big secret, really. No one else knew about Jacob, not even Dorcas's assistants. He'd been pottering around in the big old half-ruined sheds on the other side of the quarry one day back in the summer. He hadn't really got any aim in mind, except perhaps the possibility of finding a useful bit of wire or something. So he'd rummaged around in the shadows, straightened up, glanced above him, and there Jacob was, with his mouth open. After that, he'd spent a lot of time with Jacob, poking around, finding out about it. Or him. Jacob was definitely a him. A terrible him, perhaps, and old and wounded, like a dragon that had come here for one last final sleep. Or perhaps it was like one of those big animals Grimmer had shown him in a book once. Dinosaurs. Dorcas had spent many a peaceful hour getting to know Jacob. He was someone to talk to. He was the best kind of person to talk to, in fact, because you didn't have to listen to him back. Dorcas shook his head. There was no time for that sort of thing now. The school hole was under the floor of the old shed with canteen on the door. The library was also kept there. In those last hectic hours, the gnomes had managed to rescue about 30 books from the store. Grimmer was standing in front of one of these when he wandered in. Nicodemus is causing trouble, he said, sitting down on a bench. I know. I've heard. She grabbed the edge of the page in both hands and turned it over with a grunt of effort. I don't know what he's got to gain, said Dorcas. Power, said Grimmer. We've got a power vacuum, you see. I don't think we have, said Dorcas uncertainly. I've never seen one here. There were plenty in the store. $69.95 with range of attachments for round-the-house cleanliness, he added, remembering with a sigh the familiar signs. It's what you get when no one's in charge.
I'm in charge, aren't I? Said Dorcas plaintively.
No, because no one really listens to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's not your fault. People like Maskelyne and Angelo and Gerda can make people listen to them, but you don't seem to keep their attention.
Never mind. When the others get back, I'm sure they'll sort it all out, said Dorcas, more cheerfully than he felt.
Yes. They'll... Grimmer began, and then stopped. After a while, Dorcas realized that her shoulders were shaking.
Is there anything the matter?
It's been more than 3 whole days, sobbed Grimmer. No one's ever been away that long before. Something must have happened.
Said Dorcas. Well, they were going to look for Grandson 39, and we can't be sure that...
And I was so nasty to him before he went. I told him about the frogs, and all he could think of was socks.
Dorcas couldn't quite see how frogs had got involved.
Grimmer, in between sobs, told him.
And I'm sure he didn't even begin to understand what I meant. And you won't either.
Oh, I don't know, said Dorcas. You mean that the world was once so simple and suddenly it's full of amazingly interesting things that you'll never ever get to the end of as long as you live? She sniffed and smiled a bit. But not too much, because if there's one thing worse than someone who doesn't understand you, it's someone who understands you perfectly before you've had a chance to have a good pout about not being understood.
The thing is that he still thinks I'm the person he used to know when we all lived in the old hole in the bank, you know, running around, cooking things, bandaging up people when they've been...
Now then, said Dorcas. He was always at a loss when people acted like this. When machines went funny, you just oiled them or prodded them or, if nothing else worked, hit them with a hammer.
Suppose he never comes back.
Of course he'll come back, said Dorcas reassuringly. What could have happened to him after all?
He could have been eaten or run over or trodden on or blown away or fallen down a hole or trapped, said Grimmer.
Yeah, said Dorcas. Apart from that, I meant. For the second time, the alarm bell rang out across the quarry. This time, the hand on the switch belonged to Nicodemus.
I have a plan, said Nicodemus.
Oh, said the gnomes in unison. Plans were the thing. You knew where you were with a plan. As he listened, Dorcas's mouth slowly dropped open. It was magnificent in its way, that plan. It was like a machine where every single bit was perfectly made, but had been put together by a one-handed gnome in the dark. It was crammed full of good ideas, which you couldn't sensibly argue with, but they'd been turned upside down. Nicodemus wanted to rebuild the store. The gnome stood in horrified admiration as the stationery explained that, yes, Abbot Gerda had been right. When they left the store, they had taken Arnold Brothers S-1905 with them inside their heads. And if they could show him that they really cared about the store, he would come out again and put a stop to all these problems and re-establish the store here in this green, unpleasant land. That was how it all arrived in Dorcas's head, anyway. He'd long ago decided that if you spent all your time listening to what people actually said, you'd never have time to work out what they meant. But it wouldn't mean building the whole store, said Nicodemus, his eyes shining like two bright black marbles. They could change the quarry in other ways. Go back to living in proper departments instead of any old how all over the place. Put up some signs. Get back to the good old ways. Make Arnold Brothers S-1905 feel at home. Build the store inside their heads. Gnomes didn't often go mad. Dorcas vaguely recalled an elderly gnome who had once decided that he was a teapot, but he changed his mind after a few days. Nicodemus, though, had definitely been getting too much fresh air. It was obvious that one or two other gnomes thought so too.
I don't quite see, said one of them, how Arnold Brothers S-1905 is going to stop these humans. No offence meant. Did humans interfere with us when we were in the store? Demanded Nicodemus. Well, no, because then trust in Arnold Brothers S-1905. But that didn't stop the store being demolished, did it? Said a voice. When it came to it, you all trusted Masklin and Gerda and the truck and yourselves. Nicodemus is always telling you how clever you are. Try and be clever, then.
Dorcas realized it was Grimmer. He'd never seen anyone so angry.
What will actually happen, then? She shouted. When you've built the store, what will happen? Humans came into the store, you know.
Nicodemus's mouth opened and shut for a while. Then he said,
But they obeyed the regulations. Yes, that's what they did, and things were better then.
She glared at him.
You don't really think people are going to accept that, do you? She said.
There was silence. You've got to admit, said an elderly gnome very slowly, things were better then. The gnomes shuffled their feet. That was all you could hear, just people shuffling their feet.
They just accepted it, said Grimmer, just like that. No one's bothered about the council anymore. They just do what he tells them.
Now she was in Dorcas's workspace under a bench in the old quarry garage. Dorcas sat and twiddled a bit of wire. You're being hard on people, he said quietly. You shouldn't yell at them like that. They've been through a lot. They get all confused if you shout at them. The council was all right for when times were good, he shrugged. And without Maskelyne and Gerda and Angelo, well, it hardly seems worthwhile.
But after all that's happened, to act so stupidly, just because he offered them
a bit of comfort, said Dorcas. He shook his head. You couldn't explain things like this to people like Grimmer. Nice girl, bright head on her. But she kept thinking that everyone else was as passionate about things as she was. All people really wanted, Dorcas considered, was to be left alone. The world was quite difficult enough as it was, without people going around trying to make it better all the time. Come on, he said wearily. Let's go and see how the signs are getting on. The whole of the floor of one of the big sheds had been turned over to the making of the signs. Dorcas had to admit that they were a pretty good idea. He'd thought that when Nicodemus had summoned him and asked him if there was any paint in the quarry. Only now the quarry was being called the New Store. Dorcas had said, there's some old tins, white and red mainly, under one of the benches. We might be able to lever the tops off. Then do it. It is very important. We must make signs, said the stationery.
Signs?
Right, said Dorcas. Cheer the place up a bit, you mean.
Signs for the gate.
Dorcas scratched his chin. The gate?
Humans obey signs, said Nicodemus. Did they not obey the signs in the store?
Most of them, agreed Dorcas. Dogs and pushchairs must be carried, it always puzzled him. Lots of humans didn't carry either of them.
Signs make humans do things, said Nicodemus, or stop doing things, so get to work, good Dorcas.
Dorcas had given this project a lot of thought, as teams of gnomes sweated to pry the lids off the paint-streaked tins. They still had the highway code from the truck, and there were plenty of signs in there, and he could remember some of the signs from the store. There were also a selection in the quarry itself. Every bit of board and rusty sheet of metal had to be pressed into service. The gnomes went at it cheerfully enough, happy to be doing something. Next morning, the sun rose to see a variety of signs hanging, not always squarely, on the battered quarry gate. They'd been very thorough. The sign said, No Utnery. Exit this way. Dagner, hard hat area. Blastigan in progress. All the lorries report to Weybridge. Slippery when wet. This till closed. Lift out for order. Beware of flailing rocks. Road fluted. And one that Dorcas had found in a book and was rather proud of. Unexploded bomb. Just to be on the safe side, though, and without telling Nicodemus, he found some more chain, and in one of the greasy old toolboxes in Jacob's shed, a padlock nearly as big as he was. It took 4 gnomes to carry it. The truck turned up around noon. The gnomes waiting in the hedge by the side of the lane saw the driver get out, look at the signs, and... No, that wasn't right! Humans couldn't do that sort of thing! But 20 gnomes, peering out from the undergrowth, saw it happen. The human disobeyed the signs. Not only that, it pulled some of them off the gate and threw them away. They watched in astonishment. Even an exploded bomb was whirled into the bushes, nearly knocking young Sacco from his perch. The new chain, though, caused the human a few problems. It rattled it once or twice, peered in through the wire mesh of the gate, stamped around for a bit, and then drove off. The gnomes in the bushes cheered, but not too happily. If humans weren't going to do what was expected of them, nothing was right in the world. I reckon that's it, said Dorcas when they got back. I don't like the idea any more than anyone else, but we've got to move. I know humans. That chain won't stop them if they really want to get in.
I absolutely forbid anyone to leave, said Nicodemus.
But you see, metal can be cut through, Dorcas began.
Silence! Shouted Nicodemus. It's your fault, you old fool! You put the chain on the gate!
Well, you see, it was to stop the...
Pardon? Said Dorcas.
If you hadn't put the chain on the gate, the signs would have stopped the human, said Nicodemus. But you can't expect Arnold Brothers Est-1905 to help us if we show we don't trust him.
Said Dorcas. What he was thinking was mad. A mad gnome. A dangerously mad gnome. We're not talking about teapots here. He backed out of Nicodemus's presence and was glad to get out into the bitingly cold air. It was snowing. Granny Morkie strutted around in the snow as if it belonged to her. The other old gnomes watched her in horrified silence.
"Course, this is nothing to some of them," she said. "I mind we've had snow. We couldn't walk round in it. We had to dig tunnels. Talk about laugh."
Madam, said a very old gnome gravely, does it always drop out of the sky like this?
Of course.
We thought it, you see, on the cards, that is, in the store, well, we thought it just sort of appeared on things, said the old gnome, in a rather jolly and festive way, he added, looking embarrassed. They watched it pile up. Over the quarry, the clouds hung like overstuffed mattresses. The old gnomes grumbled among themselves and scanned the sky anxiously for the first signs of robins or reindeer. The snow closed the quarry in. We couldn't see out across the fields. Dorcas sat in his workshop.
Well, he said quietly, we wanted to be shut away, and now we are. We can't run away, and we can't hide. We ought to have gone when Maslin left.
He heard footsteps behind him. It was Grimmer. She spent a long time near the gate these days, but the snow had driven her indoors at last.
He wouldn't be able to come, she said. Not in the snow.
Yeah, right, said Dorcas uncertainly.
It's been 8 days now.
Yeah, quite a long time.
What were you saying when I came in, she said.
Oh, I was just talking to myself. Does this snow stuff stay for a long time?
Granny says it does sometimes. Weeks and weeks, she says.
Oh.
So we've got to stay, just like Nicodemus wants, said Grimmer.
Yeah, stay and hope.
We could stay and fight, said Grimmer.
We fight all the time.
Bicker, bicker, bicker. That's gnomish nature for you.
No, I mean, fight the humans. Fight for the quarry.
There was a long pause. Then Dorcas said,
what?
Us?
Fight humans?
Yes.
But they're humans.
Yes.
But they're so much bigger than we are.
Then they'll make better targets, said Grimmer, her eyes alight. And we're faster than them and smarter than them, and we have, she added,
the element of surprise.
The what?
The element of surprise. They don't know we're here.
He gave her a sidelong glance.
What are you suggesting?
Bashing them over the head would be really tricky, take it from me.
Not their heads, said Grimmer.
Dorcas stared at her.
Fight humans?
It was such a novel idea, it was hard to get your mind around it. But,
well, there was that book, wasn't there?
The one Maslin had found in the store, the one that had given him the idea for driving the truck.
What was it?
Gulliver's Travels.
And there'd been this picture of a human lying down with what looked like gnomes tying it up with hundreds of ropes. Not even the oldest gnomes could remember it ever happening. It must have been a long time ago.
Hang on a minute, he said. If we start fighting humans... His voice tailed off.
Yes?
They'll start fighting us, won't they? I know they're not very bright, but it'll dawn on them that something's happening and they'll fight back. Retaliation, that's called.
That's right, said Grimmer. And that's why it's vitally important we retaliate right at the start.
Dorcas thought about this.
You really think we could fight humans?
Oh, yes.
So, how?
Grimmer bit her lip.
She said. Young Sacco and his friends, can you trust them?
Oh, they're keen lads, and lasses, one or two of them, he smiled. Always ready for something new?
Right, then we shall need some nails.
You've really been thinking hard, haven't you? Said Dorcas.
I've been doing a lot of reading, she said.
Yeah, I can see, said Dorcas. But, I wonder if it wouldn't be more sensible to...
We're not going to run away again, she said flatly. We shall fight them in the lane, we shall fight them at the gates, we shall fight them in the quarry, and we shall never surrender.
What does surrender mean? Said Dorcas desperately.
We don't know the meaning of surrender, said Grimmer.
Well, I don't, said Dorcas.
Grimmer leant against the wall.
Do you want to hear something strange, she said.
Dorcas thought about it.
Well, don't mind, he said.
There's books about us.
Like Gulliver, you mean?
No, that was about a human. About us, I mean. Ordinary-sized people like us. But wearing all green suits and with little knobbly stalks on their heads. Sometimes humans put out bowls of milk for us and we do all the housework for them. And we have wings like bees. That's what gets put in books about us. They call us pixies. It's in a book called Fairy Tales for Little Folk.
Well, I don't think the wings would work, said Dorcas doubtfully. I don't think you could get the lifting power.
And they think we live in mushrooms, Grimmer finished.
Don't sound very practical to me, said Dorcas.
And they think we repair shoes.
Oh, that's a bit more like it, said Dorcas. Good solid work.
And the book said we paint the flowers to make them pretty colours, said Grimmer.
Dorcas stared at her.
No, he said eventually. I've looked at the colours on flowers. They're definitely built in.
We're real, said Grimmer. We do real things. Why do you think that sort of thing goes in books?
Search me, said Dorcas.
If ever humans do catch us, that's what we'll become, said Grimmer. Sweet little people painting flowers. They won't let us be anything else. They'll turn us into little people.
She sighed. It was bitterly cold in Jacob's lair. Other gnomes never came in because it was draughty and stunk. That suited Dorcas fine. He padded across the floor and under the huge tarpaulin where Jacob lived. It took quite a long time to climb up to his preferred perch on the monster. He sat down and waited until he got his breath back.
I only want to help people, he said quietly. Now Grimmer wants to fight humans.
He drummed his heels on Jacob's... What would it be? Jacob's neck, probably.
It's all right for you, he said, sleeping quietly here all the time, having a nice rest.
He stared at Jacob for a long while. Then very quietly he said, I wonder. 5 long minutes went past. Dorcas appeared and reappeared amongst the complicated shadows, muttering to himself, saying things like, that's dead, that's no good, We need a new battery, and seems okay. Nothing that a good clean couldn't put right. And, not much in your tank.
Finally, he walked out from under the dusty cloth and rubbed his hands together. Everyone has a purpose in life, he thought. It's what keeps them going. If you have a purpose in life, you can feel 6 inches tall. And now I've found one. Gosh.
The human came back later, and he didn't come alone. There was the small truck and a much larger lorry with the words Blackberry Stone and Gravel PLC painted on the side. It jolted up the lane, slowed down as it came out into the open area in front of the quarry gates, and stopped. It wasn't a very good stop. The back of the vehicle swung around and nearly hit the hedge. The engine coughed into silence. There was the sound of hissing, and very slowly... the lorry sank. 2 humans got out. They walked around the lorry, looking at each tyre in turn.
They're only flat at the bottom, whispered Grimmer in their hiding place in the bushes. Don't worry about it, hissed Dorcas. The thing about tyres is, the flat bit always sinks to the bottom. Amazing what you can do with a few nails, isn't it?
The smaller truck stopped behind the lorry. 2 humans got out of that too and joined the others.
One of them was holding the longest pair of pliers Dorcas had ever seen. While the rest of the humans bent down by one of the flat tyres, it strolled up to the gate, fiddled the teeth of the pliers onto the padlock, and squeezed. It was an effort, even for a human. But there was a snap loud enough to be heard in the bushes, and then a long, drawn-out clinking noise as the chain fell away.
I
don't understand it, Grimmer muttered. They can see they're not wanted, so why are they so stupid?
The human pulled at the gate and swung it enough to allow itself inside.
It's going to the manager's office, said Secco. It's going to make noises in the telephone.
No, it's not, Dorcas prophesied.
But it'll be ringing up order, said Secco. It'll be saying, in human I mean, it'll be saying some of our wheels have gone flat.
No, said Dorcas, it'll be saying, why doesn't the telephone work?
Why doesn't the telephone work, said Nooty.
Because I know what wires to cut, said Dorcas. Look, it's coming back out. The humans clustered around the stricken lorry. Then they appeared to reach a decision and walked back to the Land Rover. They got in. It couldn't go forward, but reversed slowly down the lane, turning around in a field gateway, and headed back to the main road. The lorry was left alone. Dorcas breathed out. I was afraid one of them would stay, he said. They'll come back, said Grimmer. You've always said it. Humans will come back and mend the wheels or whatever it is they do. Then we better get on with it, said Dorcas. Come on, you lot. He stood up and trotted towards the lane. To Sacco's surprise, Dorcas was whistling under his breath. Now, the important thing is to make sure they can't move it, he said as they ran to keep up. If they can't move it, it means it stays blocking the lane. And if it stays blocking the lane, they can't get any more machines in.
Good thinking, said Grimmer.
We must immobilize it, said Dorcas. We'll take out the battery first. No electricity, no go.
Right, said
Secco. It's a big square thing, said Dorcas. It'll need 8 of you at least. Don't drop it, whatever you do.
Why not, said Grimmer. We want to smash it, don't we?
Said Dorcas urgently, like a motor trying to get started. No, because it could be dangerous. Because the acid and whatnot. You must take it out very carefully, and I'll find somewhere safe to put it. Very safe. Off you go now. 2 gnomes to a spanner.
What else can we do? Said Grimmer.
We'd better drain the fuel out, said Dorcas firmly as they walked under the shadow of the lorry. He wandered around until he was under the enormous swelling bulk of the fuel tank. 4 of the young gnomes had dragged an empty can out of the bushes. Dorcas called them over and pointed to the tank above them. There'll be a nut on there somewhere. It'll be to let the fuel out. Get a span around it. Make sure the can's underneath it first. They nodded enthusiastically and got to work.
And try not to spill any, please, Dorcas shouted up after them. Now, let's just go over here.
There was a thump from right behind them. The lorry's battery landed where they'd been standing.
Sorry, Dorcas, Sacco called down. It was a lot heavier than we thought. It got away from us.
You idiots, Grimmer shouted.
Yes, you idiots, shouted Dorcas. You might have damaged it. Just you come down here right now and get it into the hedge quickly.
Might have damaged us, said Grimmer.
That's what I meant, of course, said Dorcas vaguely. You wouldn't mind organising them a bit, would you? They're good boys, but always a bit too enthusiastic, if you know what I mean. He wandered off into the shadows, his head tilted backwards.
Well, said Grimmer.
She looked around at Sacco and his friends, who were sheepishly climbing down again.
Don't just stand there, get it into the hedge.
She turned and looked at the distant figure of Dorcas, and her eyes narrowed. The cunning old devil's up to something, she thought, and ran after him. He was standing under the truck's engine, staring intently into the masses of rusting pipework. As she came up, she distinctly heard him say, Now, what else do we need?
How do you mean, need?
Dorcas turned around slowly. I mean, what else do we need to do to make the thing totally immobile, he said stonily. That was what I meant. He stepped out into the light on the other side of the truck and looked up. Well, he said.
What is it?
They left the door open. Grimmer followed his gaze. The truck's door was slightly ajar. Dorcas looked around at the hedge behind them. Help me find a big enough stick, he said. I reckon we could climb up there and have a look around.
A look around? What do you expect to find?
You never know till you've looked, said Dorcas. It was pretty much like the cab of the truck that had brought them from the store. It brought back old memories.
Wow, said Sacco. And we all drove one of these?
700 of us, said Dorcas proudly. Your dad was one of them.
You were in the back with your mothers, all you lads were.
I'm not a lad, said Newty.
Sorry, said Dorcas, slip of the tongue. In my day, girls stayed at home most of the time.
Not that I've got anything at all against them getting out and about a bit now, he added hurriedly. I'm not against that at all.
The others wandered around the cab like tourists in a cathedral, gawping. Newty tried to press a pedal.
Amazing,
she said under her breath.
Sacco, you get up there and take those keys out, said Dorcas. The rest of you, no lallygagging. Those humans could be back at any time. Newty, stop making those brum-brum noises. I'm sure nice girls shouldn't make those kind of noises.
Sacco swarmed up the steering wheel post and wrestled the keys out of the ignition while the rest poked around in the cab. Grimmer wasn't with them. She'd stayed down in the lane. Dorcas looked around. Let's see, he thought. We've got the battery. We've got the fuel. Was there anything else?
Come on, everyone, he called. Let's be getting out of here. Newty, stop trying to move things all the time. It'd take all of you to shift that gear lever. Come on, before the humans come back.
He made his way to the door and heard a click behind him.
I said, come on. What do you think you're doing?
The young gnome stared at him wide-eyed.
We're seeing if we can move the gear lever, Dorcas, said Newty. If you press this knob, you can... Don't press the knob! Don't press the knob!
The first inkling Grimmer had that something was going wrong was a nasty little crunching sound and a change in the light. The truck was moving. Not very fast, because the two front tyres were flat, but the lane was steep. It was moving all right, and there was something huge and unstoppable about it. She stared at it in horror. The lane ran between two high banks all the way down to the big road and the railway.
I said, don't press it. Did I say press it? I said, don't press it.
The terrified gnomes stared at him, their open mouths a row of O's.
It's not the gear lever, it's the handbrake, you idiots!
Now they could all hear the crunching noise and feel the vibration.
Said Sacco, his voice shaking. What's a handbrake, Dorcas?
It keeps it stopped on hills and things. Don't just stand there, help me push it back up!
The cab was, very gently, beginning to sway from side to side. The lorry was definitely moving. The handbrake wasn't.
Dorcas heaved on it until blue and purple spots flashed in front of his eyes. I just gave the knob on the end a push, Newty babbled. I only wanted to see what it did. Yes, yes, all right.
Dorcas stared around. What he needed was a lever. What he needed was about 50 gnomes. What he needed most of all was not to be here. He staggered across the bouncing floor to the doorway and cautiously peered out. The hedge was moving past quite gently, as if it wasn't in a particular hurry to get anywhere, but the surface of the lane already had a blurred look. We could probably jump, he thought, and if we're lucky, we won't break anything. If we're even luckier, we'll avoid the wheels. How lucky do I feel right at this minute? Not very. Sacco joined him.
Perhaps if we took a good running jump, he began.
There was a thump as the lorry hit the bank, heeled over, and then bounced back onto the lane. The gnomes struggled to their feet.
On the other hand, perhaps it's not a good idea, said Sacco. What should we do now, Dorcas?
Just hang on. I think the banks will keep it on the lane, and I suppose it will just roll to a halt eventually.
He sat down suddenly as the truck bounced off the bank again. There was a thump. The branch of a tree caught the door, swung it open, and then with a terrible metallic noise ripped it off.
I think we all ought to hang on to something, just in case it gets bumpy, said Dorcas.
The lorry rolled down the lane and onto the main road. A car skidded into the hedge to avoid it. Another lorry managed to stop at the end of four long streaks of scorched rubber on the wet road. None of the gnomes in the cab noticed this at the time. All they felt was another thump as the lorry bounced gently off the far side of the road and down the lane that ran towards the railway, where with red lights flashing, the barriers were coming down. Sacco peered out of the stricken doorway.
We've just crossed over a road. Oh, said Dorcas. I just saw a car run into the back of another car and a lorry ended up going sideways, Sacco went on.
Oh, lucky we got over then, said Dorcas. There's some dangerous drivers around.
The gritty sound of the flat tyres rolling over gravel gradually slowed down. There was the snap of something breaking behind the lorry, a couple of bumps, and then another thump that brought them to a halt. They heard a low, booming noise.
Gnomes hear things differently to humans, and the shrill clanging of the level crossings' warning alarms sounded to them like the mournful tolling of an ancient bell.
We've stopped, said Dorcas.
Come on, no hanging around. We can jump out. You youngsters can, anyway.
What are you going to do? Said Sacco.
I'm going to wait until you've all jumped out, and then I'm going to tell you to catch me, said Dorcas pleasantly. I'm not as young as I was. Now off you go.
They got down awkwardly, hanging on to the edge of the sill and dropping onto the road. Dorcas lowered himself gingerly onto the brink and sat with his legs dangling over the drop. He looked a long way down. Below him, Nootie prodded Sacco on the arm.
Sacco?
What is it?
Look at that metal rail thing over there.
Well, what about it?
There's another one over there, said Nootie, pointing.
What about them?
We're right in between them, said Nootie. I just thought I should, you know, point it out. And, there's that bell thing ringing.
Yeah, I can hear it.
I just, wondered why it was.
Sacco shrugged.
Who knows why anything happens, he said.
Come on, Dorcas, please, we haven't got all day.
I was just composing myself, said Dorcas quietly. Nootie wandered miserably away from the group and looked down at one of the rails. It was bright and shiny, and it seemed to be singing. She bent closer. Yes, it was certainly making a faint humming noise, which was odd. Bits of metal didn't normally make any noise at all. Not by themselves, anyway. She looked up at the lorry. As she stared at the lorry stuck between the flashing lights and the shiny rails, a horrible idea formed in her head.
Sacco! Sacco! We're right on the railway line, Sacco!
Something a long way off made a deep, mournful noise. Two deep, mournful noises, one a little deeper and more mournful than the other.
Dee-da. Dee-da.
From the gateway of the quarry, Grimmer had a good view of the road all the way to the airport. She saw the train and the truck. The train had seen the truck, too. It suddenly started to make the long, drawn-out screaming noise of bits of metal in distress. By the time it actually hit the thing, it seemed to be going quite slowly. It even managed to stay on the rails. Bits of truck spun away in every direction, like a firework. Other gnomes came running across the quarry floor, with Nicodemus in the lead, and piled up in a crowd around the gate.
"What's happened? What's happened?"
"I saw everything," said a middle-aged gnome. "I was on watch, and I saw Dorcas and some of the boys go into the truck, and then it rolled away down the hill, and then it went over the road, and then it stopped right on the railway, and then...
"I forbade all meddling with these infernal machines," said Nicodemus, "and I said we were to stop putting people on watch, didn't I? The watch Arnold Brothers Est-1905 maintains should be enough for humble gnomes."
Dorcas said he thought it wouldn't do any harm if...
"I gave orders!" screamed Nicodemus. "You will all obey me! Did I not stop the lorry by the power of Arnold Brothers Est-1905?
"No," said Grimmer quietly. "No, you didn't. Dorcas did. He put nails down in the road." There was a huge, horrified silence. In the middle of it, Nicodemus went white with rage.
"Liar!"
"Nope," said Grimmer. "He really did. He really did all sorts of things to help us, and we never said please or thank you. And now he's dead." There were sirens along the road below, and a lot of excitement around the stationary train. Blue lights flashed. The gnomes shifted uneasily. One of them said,
"He's not really dead, though, is he? Not, Not really. I expect he jumped out at the last minute. Clever person like him. Grimmer looked helplessly at the crowd. Yes, she said. Perhaps they got out. And now, she went on, I think even humans will be wondering what's happening here. They'll soon work out where the lorry came from, and they'll be coming up here, and I think they might be very angry. Nicodemus licked his lips and said, We won't be afraid. We will confront them and defy them. We will treat them with scorn. We don't need Dorcas. We need nothing except faith in Arnold Brothers Est 1905. Nails, indeed. If you start out now, said Grimmer, you should all be able to get to the barn, even through what's left of the snow. I don't think the quarry will be a very safe place to be quite soon. No! Shouted Nicodemus. No one is to move! Do you think Arnold Brothers Est 1905 will let you down? I will protect you from the humans! Down below, a car with a flashing blue light on top of it pulled away from the excitement around the train, crossed the main road, and headed slowly up the lane. I will call upon the power of Arnold Brothers Est 1905 to smite the humans, shouted Nicodemus. I will stand here and defy the dreadful minions of order. I will teach them a lesson they won't forget. The rest of the gnomes said nothing. If Nicodemus wanted to, we will all defy them, he shouted.
What? Said a gnome.
Brothers, let us stand here resolute and show order that we are united in opposition. If you truly believe in Arnold Brothers Est 1905, no harm will come to you.
The flashing light was well up the lane now. Soon it would be crossing the wide patch in front of the gates, where the great chain hung uselessly from the broken padlock. Grimmer opened her mouth to say, Don't be stupid, you idiots. Arnold Brothers Est 1905 doesn't want you to stand in front of cars. I've seen what happens to gnomes who stand in front of cars. Your relatives have to bury you in an envelope. She was about to say all that and decided not to. For months and months, people had been telling gnomes what to do. Perhaps it was time to stop. She saw a number of worried faces in the crowd turn towards her, and someone said, What shall we do, Grimmer? Yeah, said another gnome. She's a driver. They always know what to do. She smiled at them. It wasn't a very happy smile. Do whatever you think best. There was a chorus of indrawn breaths. Said a gnome. Nicodemus says we can stop this thing just by believing we can. Is that true or what?
I don't know, said Grimmer. You might be able to. I know I can't.
She turned and walked off quickly towards the sheds.
Do whatever you think best, muttered a gnome. What sort of help's that?
They stood in their hundreds, watching the car coming closer. Nicodemus stood slightly ahead of the crowd, holding his hands in the air. The only sound was the crunch of tyres on gravel.
That is the end of this side.